Morning. I'd like to start this morning's service off and with Matthew 25, starting in the first verse. This is the parable that Christ taught, parable of the virgins. And we've read this many times, and it's been read before many times, but I'd like to read it again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto ten virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him unto the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is a teaching of Jesus Christ, and he's talking about the latter days and those end times when it draws close to the time that he would return. And we can read in this parable and understand that we must be prepared to meet him. And at the beginning of the parable, it speaks of the 10 virgins, and there are five wise and the five foolish. And the five foolish not having oil for their lamps. And the five wise having oil for their lamps to keep their lamps burning, so that they won't go out. Well, that's kind of the focus of what I want to talk about this morning, is what is that oil and keeping it burning. And there's some simple things that we all know that I heard in the announcements this morning. There's a women's prayer group and a men's prayer group, a study class on Monday. There's a 12-step program on Tuesday. There's a Wednesday night prayer service. Thursday night, United Workers, potato dinner. Those are things that we can use to keep our lamps burning and to keep oil in our lamps, along with reading our scriptures and studying and all those things that we've been taught and that are obvious to us that we should be doing. But what of those five virgins that didn't have the oil in their lamp? Well, if we compare one group to the other, they're both virgins. So to me, that tells me that they are those that have placed no other God before them. And they are pure. And so they both must have faith. They both must have been repentant. They both must have gone down into the waters of baptism. But one group was just a little foolish, and they didn't prepare. They didn't keep watch, as we are told. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about, is keeping watch. And it's easy in this day and age to be forgetful and to not keep watch. And there's a couple things that I'd like to focus on also about what is that oil that's in their lamps or that we need to keep in our lamps. And we've all heard the sermons about the gifts of the gospel, the gifts of the Spirit, and obedience unto our Heavenly Father, and the charity that we should have one to another, and all those things being part of that oil. But I want to specifically focus on a couple things. And so I'd like to go to, in the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, 6th chapter, starting in verse 56. But woe unto them that hath the law given, yea, that hath all the commandments of God, like unto us, and that transgress them, and that have wasted the days of his probation, for awful is his state. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the vanities and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not. Wherefore, they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if it so be that they hearken unto the counsels of God. But woe unto the rich, which are rich as in the things of the world. For because that they are rich, they despise the poor, and they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures, and wherefore their treasure is, wherefore their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them. And woe unto the deaf that will not hear, for they shall perish. Woe unto the blind that will not see, for they shall also, or perish also. And woe unto the uncircumcised of heart, for a knowledge of their iniquity shall smite them at the last day. Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. And woe unto the murderer who deliberately killeth, for he shall die. And woe unto them that commit whoredoms, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Yea, woe unto them that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delighteth in them. And in fine, woe unto all they that die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold his face and remain in their sins. My beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against that holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of the cunning one. Well, there's some good instruction there, and it speaks of those that this is Jacob's speech, and he's speaking to his brethren in the church, and he's talking to those that are learned in the gospel, and he's talking to those that have fallen asleep, basically, in the gospel, like those five virgins that were foolish, that didn't have oil in their lamps. And there's some warnings there to us, not to be prideful and to take upon us that we believe we are taught and that we know and that we don't need to listen to God. And there's a warning to those that are rich, that look down upon the poor, and not to place those ahead of your God, that it would be as a God. And it goes on and gives us warnings to the deep, to those that would not hear. And if they don't hear the word of God. And all those things that would be considered not to do, or all those things that would be considered oil in their lamps, they don't have. So if we look at that, you know, we might fall if we think within ourselves, how are we doing? And we kind of measure ourselves by this. We can do that personally, and only you know how you are. I know the church in general supports a good life, good behavior to God, and belief and faith in Jesus Christ, but the things that we do in our daily lives that can overtake us and set us apart from God are some of these things that are spoken of here. And we have a specific danger here in the United States that I've noticed that's obvious, that we have a lot of wealth here in the United States. And it would be easy for us to set our mind upon those things because they come so easily to us. Even the worst of us here in the United States have it better than many of our brothers and sisters in, say, the Philippines, or Honduras, or Africa. So even in those small things that we might set our hearts upon, we are endangering ourselves. God has placed us in this country, and He has seen fit that we were born into the parents that we have, and that we live here in the United States, and that we have plenty, and that is given to us. But it is up to us to be stewards of those things. And He placed us here. He could have placed us in anywhere in the world. He could have placed us when we were born in Africa or in the Philippines or in Honduras. But He didn't. He placed you here. And we have it pretty easy here in the United States. We really do. And even the worst, even those who have it the worst here have it pretty easy. And so there's a great responsibility there. So it would be very easy for us to say that I don't set my wealth before my God, but perhaps we have and we don't see it. And only you can answer that in your heart and your mind. He speaks here of those that are to have a heart circumcised unto Him. Sometimes it's not that we have the wealth that we won't share it, or is it more that if we had, we should think within ourselves, if we had it, we would. And that's one of those things that is oil in our lamps, is how we treat one another and how we handle those things, how we are stewards of those things. And I'd like to go to another scripture in the Book of Mormon, in 3 Nephi. It's on page 640. In the 5th chapter. And I'd like to start in verse 110. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon is a word that's used for the cares of this world and the pursuit of riches and the pursuit of wealth. And we cannot serve both. So part of that oil in our lamp and our keeping oil in our lamp is really that stewardship over the wealth that we have. Along with all those other spiritual needs that we have and the commandments that God has given us. I don't believe that we are to be a people of forced poverty. I don't believe that we should necessarily just sell everything that we own and give it away, because it is a stewardship of those things. And if we did that, it wouldn't be long, and then everybody would be impoverished and everybody would be in dire straits. So it is a stewardship. But because of that, we have a special responsibility that we keep our hearts in the right place. Along with that wealth comes that responsibility. I'd like to read another scripture in the Book of Mormon. Or no, it's in the Bible, excuse me. It's in Malachi, 3rd chapter, 6th through the 12th verse. It says, "For I am the Lord, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not yet kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the heavens or the windows of heaven, and pour out the blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Here God is speaking to his people, and he's telling them that they have robbed him in their tithes and offerings. And it's interesting that he says tithes and offerings. He doesn't say just tithes. If he said just tithes, that is that 10% that is God's, that comes right off the top. As I was trying to make the point earlier, he put us here in this wealthy nation. He put us in a place that we can live comfortably and live well. And he's seen fit that we are all prospered and that we have done well. And so that 10% is his. That's right off the top. If we keep that, we're keeping something that's the Lord's. But then he asks us also, he mentions offerings. And those are the things of the heart. Those are the things that the law doesn't say that you give, that you don't give that 10% because you have to. That's outside of that. That's because you want to give. Sure, we should want to tithe as well. But then there's also offerings. That's above and beyond. And that's oil in our lamp. That's the thing that keeps our minds focused, part of it. Because when we do that, we have a mindset that keeps us from getting overtaken with the wealth. Thinking, well, I can get that new car, or they get new VCR, or the remodel the kitchen, or a new stereo, or new speakers, new radio for the car. All those things that are nice to have and all those things that aren't necessarily wrong, unless they take over our lives and they're the focus of what we do. And we have a particular danger in the United States, or for that matter, Canada, or any of the wealthy nations in this country or in this world where the Church of Christ might exist. We have a particular danger. Because if you're in Kenya, if you're in the Philippines, it's a little different. It's a little different slant. They don't worry about if they're going to be able to buy a bigger, better SUV next time around because they don't even have the first car. They can't even afford to put the gas in the car. So that doesn't enter into their mind. But they do have a different burden, and that's a burden of want. They can want things so much that their want keeps them from the Lord. So wealth is a burden to them as well, as it is a burden to us. But they bear a different burden than we do. And one thing I know, that when I've been in Kenya on the first trip, there was a situation there where they had a famine or a drought, not a famine, but a drought, and some of them couldn't get their crops in time, because of the rains came late, and so they couldn't get their crops in early enough, and when they harvested, they didn't get as much from the harvest, so they didn't have enough food to get through the next season. And so the Church of Christ, the brothers and sisters in the Church of Christ, gave them aid and bought food and shared it amongst them. And because of that, they were grateful. And they understood that that came from the brothers and sisters here and in Mexico and in Honduras and those that paid their tithes and those that gave of their offerings unto the church. And they understood that and they appreciated it. And they knew that their brothers and sisters cared for them. Excuse me. And so they pray for you. So now, they are keeping oil in your lamp because they pray that you'll be strong, excuse me, and you'll be faithful because they understand that you have a love for them. So we have a great responsibility to be examples to them, to be examples to one another, in how we handle this wealth that we have. And quite often we in our humanness we want to set that aside and say that's part of our material life and it's not part of our spiritual life. But it is so much a part of our spiritual life. It's like a thermostat. You can kind of look at it and measure how you're doing. If you're hot or if you're cold. And if you're cold, it wouldn't be pleasing unto God. But if you're hot, you're willing and able to share and to give of your tithes willingly and to give offerings when wisdom tells you that it's good to do, and when those things pull on your heartstrings and you loosen up your pocketbook. It can be a thermostat that tells us where we're at. And only you know that. So we have to be careful that doesn't become a god that we set before us, that it doesn't overtake us. In Luke, 12th chapter, starting in the 13th verse. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who hath made thee judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake to the parable, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And when he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he saith, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God say unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And when those, and when, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put. For the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? In this parable, there's this man with all these riches, and he had so many riches and so much wealth that he couldn't contain it within the buildings that he had. So rather than to spread that out amongst the poor and give it as offerings or alms, he stored it up unto himself. And he built up treasure here on earth, which was the wrong place. He had an opportunity to build up a treasure in heaven. He already had everything that he needed. He already had barns that were full of his harvest. And he could have taken his extra and his excess and given it to others and built up a treasure for himself in heaven and had a treasure here on earth and also had a treasure in heaven. Yet he didn't. He chose to keep it to himself. And because he did that, he lost all. He not only lost what he had here on earth when his soul was required of him, but when he went to meet his heavenly Father, he had nothing. And this is a danger that is here with us all the time. It's something that we have to live with, is we have to decide what is excess and what is not, how much the Lord has provided for us that we need. And so we need to make a sacrifice. And we need to be able to give those offerings unto God. Not just those things that are already required, not just the tithings, but those things that are a little bit above and a little bit beyond. Or if we're not careful, greed can overtake us. In the Book of Mormon, on page 712, fourth chapter, I'm just going to read one verse, the 94th verse. And it says, be ye wise in the days of your probation, strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not what ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with firmness, unshaken, that ye will yield to no temptation, but ye will serve the true living God. We oftentimes pray and we ask for God to help us find employment, good jobs, make our bill payments, and all of those things. But we need to be careful that we don't ask that we would consume those things upon our lusts, so that we would not yield unto temptation. I'm not getting very far. I had quite a few more scriptures, and I hadn't really intended on focusing on the material wealth of that oil in the lamp. I also have some scriptures in here that tell us that we are to be the salt of the earth. a light unto the world. That we are, well, if we go to Matthew, 5th chapter, I believe. 5th chapter and 11th verse. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's part of your oil. That was another side of that oil that I was going to try to focus on, is witnessing to those around you of the hope that you have in you of Jesus Christ. That's part of that oil. It's like the money that you spend and that you earn. It's something that you have to invest and that you have to pay. You have to take the time to do it, and you have to be willing. And it goes on, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, that men may see your good works. That requires us to make an investment. It requires us to do something. And that was the other side I was going to try to touch on. I think here in the United States, if we look at the number of baptisms in the United States this year, and this is just a gauge, and I'm not saying that we should go out and just start trying to baptize people. I had the numbers written down. I believe it was 22 new baptisms in the United States that was recorded this year. Yeah, 21. And in the rest of the world, 734 baptisms were recorded. And if we think about the parable of the talents, I'm not going to go to that. I don't have time, but when you get a chance, go and read the parable of the talents. And in the parable of the talents, the Lord of the manor, he gave his servants talents. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he gave one 1. And when he returned, the one that had 5 had an increase, and the Lord was happy. And the one that had 2 had an increase, and the Lord was happy. And the one that had 1 took his talent and buried it. And the Lord was not happy with him. And he said to him, he said, these are my words, but he said to him basically, don't you remember that I reap where I sow not? So we have this talent, and are we sowing it? You know, just like our money or our wealth we're stewards over, we're also stewards over the spiritual things and those gifts that God has given us. Are we sharing them? I know that in these last days we have heard from the scriptures, and we've heard from the preaching that the time of the Gentiles has come to an end. And people don't expect to see great numbers of new members baptized in the States or in amongst the Gentiles. That may be true. I believe that it is. But I also realize that we are small in numbers. And that if this Church of Christ, as small as it is, was 100 times bigger than it is now, in the whole scope of the number of people in the world, it would still be small. We could have had 734 baptisms just here in the United States this year, and we still would be small. And this time of the Gentiles could still be over. So I know there is still a lot of work that can yet be done. And so I'm just looking at this as another measuring stick for how we stand as a church, whether we're hot or whether we're cold. And I'm not trying to accuse. I'm just trying to raise a flag and to get us all to think about how we're living and what we're doing and where are we going. that that parable of the talents is in the 25th chapter of Matthew, if you want to go back and read that later on today and think about that, and not think of just the monetary implication of that, but also the spiritual aspect of that parable. I'd like to read out of Revelation chapter 3. Starting in the 13th verse. And this was a warning that was given to a church at that day. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not how wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and be patient, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it's a warning given, and it's a warning, and we can very easily place ourselves there. We can be going along thinking that we're hot, and in fact we're lukewarm. And I'm not trying to judge that at all. I'm just trying to point out a few things that we can use to measure ourselves with. And it's very easy for us to be blinded. It's very easy for us to slip a little bit. And so if you feel like I've been hard on the church or anybody here in general today, I apologize for that. But it's also my job to give a warning. And I would rather give a warning than to give counsel. If I can give a warning and avoid something, it's a lot better and a lot easier than to try to counsel against it later. And so sometimes these things are a little uncomfortable. But when I look at the number of baptisms that is occurring around the world and the rest of the world, and compare it to where we're at here in the United States, we've got a ways to go. We need to work on that. Not so much that we need to just go out and find people to convert, but it's kind of like I compare it to what the Lord tells us. He tells us to seek Him first, and then He will add unto our wealth and add unto our riches. And if we would seek Him first, He would add unto the church here. And I kind of look at it the same way. So we're stewards of the gospel. We're stewards of our beliefs in the Church of Christ, as well as we are stewards of our monetary life and our spiritual life. And so perhaps we have a ways to go, and we're in a situation where it's really easy to sit back and say all is well in Zion, because we have 734 new baptisms this year. Isn't it great? And it is. And that wouldn't have happened without your support. And that's the good thing. It wouldn't have happened without your support. But we need to be careful, and we need to be aware that we have more yet to do, and there is more yet that we can do. And so when I look at the number of baptisms in the United States, and I see 21, and I think about all the number of people that live in this country, and even if just one extra person was brought in each local in a year, that number would have been doubled. If you just look at numbers as a gauge, then you can see that we have a ways to go. So, and part of that oil in our lamp is witnessing and testifying of Jesus Christ. And if we are to be the salt of the earth, then we should be about doing that. That's about all I have to say. Thank you for your patience. God bless you.
Thank you.
Ron?
Tommy, I have a special request.
Okay.
I talked to John Dill last night. He was operating on a bathroom. He could hardly talk to me. He said, I asked him, his operation was done. He said, I have no idea. So we need to really pray for this dear brother. There's one other thing. On the Baptist Church on Northeast 78th Street this week is going to show and tell that the Book of Mormon is true. It's in the Independence Examiner from Saturday. If you haven't got one, get one and read it. It's very interesting. The Baptist Church is going to prove that the Book of Mormon is true.
Okay, did all hear? I would reemphasize the fact that our brother Johnny Gale does need our prayers. I did understand that he is doing some better, but he has a long ways to go as far as his recovery, so thank you. And our brother Gerald Bryant and our sister Velma, and we know that there are many others. Hopefully you will get your bulletins. You have a full week ahead of us, many opportunities to begin to fill our lamp with oil. If you will now close with number 408. remind you that right after this meeting, there is potluck downstairs, and all are invited. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with thankful hearts. We thank you for the word that you have presented to us. We thank you that our conscience has been pricked. We know that we fall short, that we have not filled our lamps full, that we can shine a nice, pure light to those around us, that we might be salt to the world. So help us that we might take the many opportunities that you give us, that we might be pure in heart, that we might shine a pure light. And so go with us as we leave this building and as we go into the world, that we might be your servants. We would ask that you would bless the sick and the afflicted. Bless those in foreign lands, those who are hearing the gospel for the first time, for those who are rediscovering it. Touch their hearts and help us that we might reach out to those who you place in our lives. I would ask that you would go with us into the activities of this day as we go downstairs for our meal. We thank you for the abundance that you have provided, and we would ask that you would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. We ask all these favors and give you the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.